or the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so the Lord, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. He's talking about being under conviction. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. I want to direct your attention to one powerful, powerful word. Try to share a few thoughts on that word, and not to keep you very long. Verse 23. Nevertheless. Why don't you say it with me? It's an easy word. Nevertheless. I'd like to tell you right now that if you don't ever learn how to frame that word, you'll be lost. I want to preach for a little while tonight on nevertheless. Lord, bless the ministry of the Word and help me to do a good job. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Nevertheless. Anybody ever heard a sermon on it? Did you? No, this is going to be a great one. Nevertheless. It's kind of an unusual word. And yet we do use it once in a while. But usually when we say it, it's in a tone of almost fatalism. Of like, well, what's the use? But David used it as a word that framed victory for him. And I got to looking up a few moments ago in my dictionary what the word literally meant. And Daniel Webster says that the word nevertheless is an old form of English word that means without regarding that or in spite of the fact. In spite of the fact. Let's say it again. Nevertheless. Does that have a feel to it?
I like
that. Nevertheless. David is lamenting in Psalm 73 about the fact that he has been trying to live clean and pure and righteous and holy and acceptable to God. And for some reason, there seems to be an apparent injustice. There seems to be a discrepancy going on in his area. And for some reason, he doesn't seem to understand. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to live clean. God, something's unfair. Now you might as well respond now because I'm better than the singers. And you might as well get honest right now because every one of us have sung the second verse to this song. Something ain't right. It almost it comes out of your lips, God, you're unfair. Whoops. Because we've lived clean and pure. And we're struggling to keep the lights on, and this slime bucket don't even tithe, and he lives like a fat cat. Why don't you take care of them, God? I'm going to tell you why. They're already taken care of. God will make up his books when it's God's time. We just make sure we keep putting our stuff on the page. But it's easy to get discouraged when you see people, quote, getting by. And David was disgusted because he saw a lot of people supposedly getting by. And David said, I was envious at the wicked. I got disgusted at the prosperous. I'm doing everything I can to do right. I'm up every morning, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm reading your word, I'm trying to be a worshiper. And my Lord, all hell's broke loose in my life, and heaven seems to be blessing them. Yeah. And don't say amen too loud because you give yourself away from where you're hiding. But David said, it was so painful for me until I went to the sanctuary. Until I got into the house of God and the presence of God. Not just the house of God. There's lots of people that come to the sanctuary, but they don't get into the presence of God. Because worship is absolutely necessary if the sanctuary is going to serve its full end. That's why some of you that don't clap and don't worship and don't do anything, I wonder why you come. TV broke? You're not going to get anything out of a service if you don't worship. There is no sanction here. There is no salvation here in a building. This is just a place that houses us. But if you can get in the sanctuary, and once you get in the sanctuary, you begin to worship Him who is the Lord of the sanctuary. Worship magnifies Him, and worship reduces your dilemma to its proper size. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! The natural man stops at his situation. The natural man just looks up. He has no word, nevertheless. That's why the natural man gets drunk. That's why the natural man curses and fusses and carries on. That's the truth. That's why he becomes a drug addict. That's why he finally becomes so futile with his feelings, he blows his brains out somewhere. Because he doesn't know how to frame this majestic word, nevertheless. Thank you. In spite of the fact, I'm a moving on. I don't care how much hell's just vomited into my life, I'm climbing out. I don't care how many people reject my offer for a Bible study. I'm coming out of it and going to try another one. I don't care how many people quit and go the opposite direction. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact, I don't care what it looks like, there's got to be a nevertheless in my life. And there's got to be a nevertheless in your life. If not, you're going to live a frustrated life. It's good to have self-examination, but don't stop there. Take the exam, look at where you failed, look at all the facts, and then say, but nevertheless, I'm loved by a love that won't let me go. I'm gifted by a grace that found me when I was in disgrace. And I lost you just then. It's good to be honest. I'm not up to par. I'm not where I ought to be. I've messed up. I've made wrong decisions. I've been a real bimbo. But nevertheless, because there's been times in my life when I've self-examined my life, and you know what I've done? I left off the Word. And when you leave off this Word, son, you're suicidal. When you leave off this Word, nevertheless, you ain't got no place to go. But if you can look for that door of hope that's labeled nevertheless, when you're sitting in darkness and despair, when you're discouraged and aggravated with your own failures, you can whip open that door and say, I know I failed. I know I've done wrong. But nevertheless, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Nevertheless, I'm dealing with the throne of grace. Nevertheless, it shall not always be this way. God is good to Israel. Come on, say it for me again. Let me hear the word. Two words need to be in your life. One is Jesus, and the next one's nevertheless. You think I'm going to kid you? I know lots of people that are baptized in Jesus' name, supposedly have the Holy Ghost, but don't know how to frame this word. Honey, you can say Jesus till your tongue falls out. But if you don't know how to say nevertheless, you'll eventually die out. You think I'm a kidding you? Don't let the devil fool you to think that the only people going to make the rapture are the super spiritual ones. Here's who make the rapture. Those who get their teeth knocked out. Those who make terrible mistakes. Those who swing at the ball and miss it. But on the way down, they start looking around and saying, what am I doing down here? Nevertheless, I'm fixing to swing at the ball again. I may have dropped the ball, but I'm going to try to catch it again. Nevertheless, I'm telling you, thou art still with me, and I'm still with you. Let's try it again. I want to hear the word. My God. God is good. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. God has not forsaken me, even though at times I and my own actions have forsaken Him. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, saint or sinner. And when you know to do good and you don't, you are forsaking God. You are stepping away from God. But God, who is rich in mercy, even though, in spite of the fact that I make dumb decisions, He still loves me. He still embraces me. He still cares for me. He still forgives me. Nevertheless. Oh, my. Oh, God has not forsaken me in my moments of mistake. One writer said, and it was this writer, who said, thou hast not dealt with us according to our sins. For if thou did mark iniquity, who could stand? That's why the devil will get you to sucking your thumb and being too rough on yourself. And they'll say, if you're a Christian, how come you does this? If you're a child of God, supposed to have the Holy, it's always there, supposed to have the Holy Ghost, how come you did this? Oh, listen to that slime bucket. He's not in charge of nothing. You need to look him square in the eye and say, you know, you're right. I'm glad you reminded me. I need to do better than this. Nevertheless, He still loves me. Well, glory. I know some teams you play on, you strike out more than two times in one game, you sit out the next one. Playing a key game, drop three fly balls or two ground balls, and you need to give your knees a rest. But I've been on this team almost 20 years, and I've dropped the easiest balls, and I've struck out at the silliest times, and I've said the dumbest things, and I've made the wrong decisions. And yet, Dean, here comes Jesus to me and says, I'm still loving you. I'm still loving you. I'll never stop loving you. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll not take my spirit away. Nevertheless, I'm still with you. Nevertheless, you're still with me. Anybody in this auditorium ever slipped? Any of you ever fallen? Anyone ever made a wrong decision? Anyone ever done something stupid? And you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you're feeling like defeated. All of a sudden, God, who is rich in mercy, sends a scripture, lets you hear a gospel tune, lets somebody say a word to you. What is that? That's nevertheless disguised in the garment of love for His children. My God. Oh, listen. I want you to read something for me, Philip. You don't mind? Just bear with me just a few minutes, if you would. I'm so excited. I can't hardly stand it. I don't need it. I'm just, my God. David cries out, I have been down, but thou hast not blotted me out. I've committed adultery. I killed. another woman's husband, but thou forgavest me. I added reproach to my reign, and you still restored me. How foolish and ignorant I was to be envious at the wicked, to be angry at the prosperous. I was like a beast in the field. I was so dumb. Watch what he says. Read for me, Reverend. Verse 22.
So foolish was I and ignorant.
Yeah.
I was as a beast before thee.
Watch this.
Nevertheless,
what?
I am continually with thee.
Stop. You need to get it in your craw right now. Well, I don't feel it. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Hey, some of the crud you guys are going through right now, could I give you a little weather forecast? The wind's fixing to change. Did you hear what I just told you? It ain't always going to be like this. You're not always going to feel cruddy and lousy. The wind's going to change. The weather burn's going to change. But the one that lives inside you, he's not going to change just because you have bad situations. He loves you when you was lost. He loves you right now. And I don't care what happens in your life. Nevertheless, I am still with thee. My God, I've been foolish, but you didn't forsake me. We are debtors to mercy and grace. Listen to what I'm going to say, and don't misconstrue. We are not debtors to doctrine. We are debtors to mercy and grace. So what would he say? I'm saying that we can have such an allegiance to doctrine that we don't think we owe anything to grace and mercy. I'm as straight on the doctrine as anybody I know walking in shoe leather. I'm as strong and as adamant about it as anybody I know. But we are not in debt to the doctrine. We are debtors to mercy. And we are debtors to grace that brings us the doctrine. We are recipients of Him who is rich in mercy. The Bible says, for God so loved. Do we understand the magnitude of what's hidden in that word? Do you understand what a puke hole this planet was? A cesspool of sin? A whole planet full of God-haters and hypocrites? And into that vile slime, God looked and said, well, nevertheless, in spite of the fact, I'm coming anyway. Ain't got no room for you in the hotel. Nevertheless, find me a manger. They're not going to receive you. Well, in spite of it, I'm a coming anyway. Woo! Paul writes to Rome and says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were aliens, enemies in our minds, nevertheless, in spite of the fact, God loved me anyway. And I got a hold of something I ain't never seen. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In spite of the fact that I got killed, I'm alive. And yet I don't live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. All right, I'm going to go a few minutes further. What is a Christian? A Christian is a person who knows they do not possess the ability to forgive themselves judicially, nor cleanse themselves spiritually, nor change themselves, but knows God has, God is, and God will. That in spite of what we were, He loved us. In spite of what we may be right now, He's working with us and still loves us. In spite of what we might do tomorrow, He'll still be the unchanging Christ. He'll love us then, nevertheless. Now, this is kind of neat. I think this is kind of neat. David is saying, in spite of what I have done, I am still with thee.
If we emotional people could get the factual power of what I just said, we would not live such frustrated lives. In spite of what I do that's wrong. And that's not a license to sin. But in spite of my mistakes, I'm still with me. You think I'm kidding you? I was praying this morning. God, I love old Jonah's story. I was telling the Lord about how I needed to preach a national meeting pretty soon to help this move. And here I go again. And I said, Lord, this whole movement needs to just let me preach that one scripture. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. When you miss it the first time, there goes that license. But God turned around, the Bible said, that prophet rolled up on the beach. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You know what he just said? I've forsaken you. I've backslid. I've run away from duty. I'm stuck in this dumb submarine. Nevertheless, salvation is of the Lord. Forgive me. Boom. Out he comes, and the word comes to him again. Just as powerful, just as strong, just as anointed. Don't you let the devil rape your soul tonight because you made a mistake or you've got something in your life that's not up to par. If you can get honest with God, there's a nevertheless that needs to come across your lips that the word can still come to you again. God, you are still with me. I may be going down, but you're holding me up. Acts 12, 1 through 5 says that Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he cut off one dude's head, put Peter in jail, would have brought him out. Watch these words. But prayer was made unto God by the church without ceasing. Now, the verses 2, 3, and 4 said they put him with his quarternions of soldiers. They put him in the inner sanctuary there. They chained him to a wall. Those are all the circumstances that look bad. But that little verse in verse 5 where it says, prayer was made by the church without ceasing. You know what that means in interpretation? Nevertheless, in spite of the chains, in spite of the jail, in spite of the Roman government, in spite of Herod, the church says, in spite of all of it, God, send out an angel here. In verse 7 says, in the dark hours of the night, here comes God's angel, stepping into the prison, turning on the light, taking off the chains, loosing Simon Peter, opening the gates, opening the door. Friend, don't we serve the same God? Can we still say, nevertheless, no matter what it is, how bad it is, you're still able. I want to read a scripture here for a quick minute. 37, and I think it says about verse 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, you get saved by amazing grace. Yes, you do. You do. You get saved by amazing grace. You get kept by restraining grace. You get restored by restoring grace. Think I'm kidding you? Read that for me again, Philip. I'm almost done. This is the best sermon I've preached in years. Yeah. Verse 23.
Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand.
You got a hold of me. I ain't got a hold of you. You got a hold of me. Get what I'm going to tell you. Don't go to sleep now. We need a gymnastics pill around here. It only lasts about 10 minutes in this church. Have you ever wondered who it was that put into your mind to get back to God? It sure wasn't the devil. Have you ever thought that you were just going in the wrong direction? All of a sudden a thought comes. A scripture comes alive. a feeling visits you again. Coming from the throne of grace. Goodness and mercy, follow me. Nevertheless, I'm still with you. Oh God. He lifts us up out of a terrible pit. Whoever put it in the prodigal son's heart and mind to think about going home. All he thought about when he's getting off the farm was leaving home. Now look at who told him to do that. The devil does that. Get off the farm. Honey, if he told you to get off the farm, he ain't going to tell you in the pit, better go back to the farm. But there's somebody telling you when you're in your pit, go back to the farm. Go back to... You talk about subliminal suggestion. That's God. Go back to the farm. Go back to the farm. The farm. Go back to the farm. Go back to the farm. Go back to the farm. Go back. Go back to the altar. Go back to the cross. Go back to the blood. Go back to repentance. Who's a whispering to that? Honey, there's one who loves you greater than any devil ever hated you. And I don't care what's happened to you. There needs to be a nevertheless in your life. Oh, go back to the farm. Don't you get the picture, Dean? When the guy was leaving, there was a voice whispering saying, you're not appreciated, and your dad's a dummy, and the methods on this farm are outdated. God wasn't telling him all those dumb things, but he was listening to a voice of suggestion that was fighting the grace that would keep him, and it led him away. But when he got far enough, when he's in the mud, here comes this voice. There's mercy with dad. There's restoration with dad. There's reconciliation with dad. Go, man, you think I'm a kidding you? I'm not blowing smoke up your chimney. I know what it is, even though I may never appear to be backslid. I know what it is to feel an emptiness and a void in me and just function out of duty. And God calls to me and says, come on, Jeffrey, back to prayer. Never mind this little 30 minutes jump. Come on, get back to a place of being broken. Get back to a place of agonizing. Go back. Go back. And sometimes the devil will say, but you've messed up. You've ruined your life. There's no hope for you. Don't you listen to that slime bucket. He is a liar and he is the father of liars. There's room at the Father's house for everybody. I want everybody to say it. Nevertheless. 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 If you can begin to chant that in your soul, there's no devil could ever separate you from the love of God. If you can say, nevertheless, I'm still with you. Okay. Let me just, a couple more thoughts and I'm done. I saw a scripture in the office there. Never really seen before. You remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar? When he gets the vision, and Daniel gives him the interpretation. He says, I saw a watcher descend from heaven. And I heard a voice come out of heaven saying, cut down the tree and put a band around it. Now watch what he says. It's exactly what he says. Daniel 4:15. Nevertheless, leave the stock with its root in the ground. Cut her down. Let him lose his glory and his majesty and his fruitfulness. But the God of mercy says, nevertheless, in spite of what he's done, let the root stay there and let the stock stay there. Why? Because Job said, though a tree be cut down and waxed thereof old in the ground, yet through the scent of water it can bud again. I'm bringing you the water, my friend. And I don't care how much you've been cut down. The root is still there. The stock is still there. And if you can receive the water of life, it can spring up. I scripture, Reverend. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm almost there. 2 Timothy 2:15. I read a scripture. It says this. Jesus was teaching. Daryl, he was teaching. And when he finished teaching, he turned to old Pete, who owned the boat. He said, Pete, let's go out in the deep for a draught. And old Pete says, Master, you're into carpentry, I'm into fish. We fished all night, and he ain't taking nothing. Watch this next one. Nevertheless, in spite of the empty nets, we are going to the smokehouse. Who else would ever tell you to fish where you just failed? Who else would ever say, yeah, I know you dropped the ball. Take the nets out again and let them down in the deep for a catch. You know why they loaded those two boats with all them fish and the net break? Because Simon Peter had actively in his vocabulary that word. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact, it's your word. I'll not take this failure as the last statement in this paragraph. I'll take your word as the last statement. Let's go out in the deep and let down the nets for a draw. Simon Peter, if you read the rest of that Luke 5, the reason why the net break, I preached that to you lots of times, is because Jesus said, let down your nets, plural. And Peter said, I'll let down the net, singular. And the net break, the nets would have never broken. God doesn't give you a harvest to let you lose it. Read for me, Philip. Everybody say, he is almost done. Let's go.
Nevertheless.
In spite of the fact. Read on. 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yeah.
A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
But shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Don't debate a bunch of nincompoops that want to prove something. Don't debate them. You're wasting your time. Some idiot that's unregenerated. You heard David Finley this morning. You heard a masterpiece. You can't have a carnal, unregenerated mind discern spiritual truth. First thing you need to do, if you got the Holy Ghost, no, you ain't going to talk to me. Now, I'll share truth with you, but you ain't got no truth share with me. Oh, that's being rude.
That's your problem.
They may want to share truth about A, B, and C, and D, but buddy, you ain't got no truth about doctrine. If you're not born again of water and spirit, you're not in the kingdom. You can't tell me beans about doctrine. Now, you may be able to tell me about a principle that you found in the Bible that has worked in your life, because principles work for nincompoops as well as saints. Yes, they do. But now when you get the doctrine, now you boys are in the big leagues. Read, Philip, please.
And their word will eat as doth a canker.
It's a cancer.
Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus.
Right.
Who concerning the truth have erred.
Erred.
Saying that the resurrection is past already.
Yeah,
that
dope.
And overthrow the faith of some.
They've overthrown the faith of some.
Nevertheless.
Stop. Hear the word of the Lord. Don't let people who you've had great confidence in, who lose their faith and lose their walk with God, overthrow your faith. Your business is with Jesus. Watch what he says. They've overthrown the faith of some.
Nevertheless,
in spite of the fact,
the foundation of God standeth sure.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
The Lord knoweth them that are his.